Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Kay Murray, Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop here with you in the studio. And we're going to start by looking back on the game between Manchester United and Chelsea taking place at Old Trafford on Thursday. It finished 1-1 with goals from Marcos Alonso and just minutes later, a leveller from Cristiano Ronaldo. Large number of United fans protesting against the Glazers once again pre-match, entering the stadium on the 17th minute to protest against the 17 years of the Glazers being in charge. The point doesn't really do much for Manchester United. They are 5 points off the top four with 3 games to go. So the Champions League spots looking highly unlikely. John Hutchison, Mario Melchior and Mark Ogden are with us. But I will start with you, Craig.
The fact I don't want to be negative about Man United.
Okay, so be positive.
Yeah, be good.
They picked up a point against Chelsea after those back-to-back.
They got a point. I tell you what, there was one magical piece of play in the game from United, and it was a goal. Mm-hmm. Not good from Chelsea, particularly after taking the lead, deservedly so. But a brilliant scoop pass from Nemanja Matic and a wonderful finish from Cristiano Ronaldo again. There lieth the end. What are we? We're not even in May yet in 2022, and my well of negativity on Manchester United has run dry. I'm going to the well today again, Shaq, and I can't find any words that I've not used this year already. It was embarrassing for long periods. I know they got a point, but it said more about Chelsea's finishing. It said more about their wonderful goalkeeper who's back on form but didn't have to make great saves. It said more about that than United. From box to box, from penalty area to penalty area, Chelsea completely dominated. It was embarrassing. But their Achilles heel, or one of the big problems, is there for all to see. Thomas Tuchel's reaction. It was they don't have the clinical person up front to finish all that good playoff. So that's a frustration from Chelsea's perspective. But from Man United's perspective, there's nothing new. There's no breaking news here, folks. They're bad.
Sure.
And we should not be surprised by what we saw.
And with that in mind, and with what we saw from Chelsea, Mario, will they be disappointed they didn't come away with all 3 points?
Yeah, definitely. But I don't think they played the strongest game themselves. I mean, Craig, the things that he highlighted already, I don't think they tried their hardest. I mean, especially in the middle of the park, they still were dictating the game. So I think in the middle, Man United was struggling with them. You know, if you have players like Fernandes, Matic and McTominay, they couldn't really get the grips on them because they were really dictating the tempo. But they weren't scoring. And that's what Tuchel was really, you know, like you could see from the side, they weren't scoring any goals. And I think that was the crucial part. When the goal came in, but the answer was so quick for Man U. You know, like Ronaldo again. It's just, it's sometimes funny just to keep talking about him because the guy keeps on delivering. So that's why on that scale, that was probably the only highlight they had, because away from that, I don't think they are like, we keep on mentioning, they are not the Man United that we expect them to be.
Mark, tell us a bit more about the reaction at Old Trafford to what we saw today, the protest as well in the 17th minute and before the game.
Yeah, it was quite a moody atmosphere tonight. You know, a lot of the fans didn't come into the 17th minute, as you said, because of 17 years of Glazer ownership. There was anti-Glazer chants, anti-Glazer banners. There were flares let off during the game. There was a march before the game. You know, it's April, it's May, it's springtime at Old Trafford, and there's a protest against the Glazers. It's what we've become used to now, certainly the last 7-8 years, solid post-Ferguson. But it's been 17 years now, and the fans are fed up. And I think the fans are hoping that when the Chelsea sale goes through, that if Chelsea are sold for, you know, £3.5 billion, it might encourage the Glazers to sell up. But I'm not getting any kind of suggestion that the Glazers want to sell. They don't need to sell because they keep taking £70-80 million a year out of the club in dividends. So for them, it's a very kind of lucrative ATM machine that they can just draw down every year. So the fans have lost patience with them. And what's happening on the pitch only makes it worse, because they've got an awful team coached by a manager who isn't up to the job, shouldn't be here, and probably won't be here sooner rather than later.
We're just talking about Cristiano Ronaldo obviously getting the goal. He scored 8 of the last 9 for Manchester United. Yeah. In terms of scoring against the top 5 teams as well, he leads the Premier League in goals scored there, even ahead of the likes of Salah and Mane. And yet, Don, many people think he's the problem.
It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong as well, I think in the last 12 seasons he scored more than 20 goals. I mean, where on earth would Man United be without Ronaldo? It's incredible. Because people, Kay, I think, look at the way the Liverpool play and Bayern played under Pep and Barcelona played under Pep, and it's all about high press and intensity. Well, you know you're not going to get that from Ronaldo at his age. But what you're guaranteed is you're guaranteed goals. You know, he's turned himself from a winger stroke an attacking player into one of the most clinical number nines in world football. And he's been that for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. So you look at Ronaldo and you think, well, what is he going to offer us? He's going to offer us goals. So in my humble opinion, if you're building the side around Ronaldo, play him as a sort of number nine, number 10, and have legs in and around him. I know Ralf Rangnick's trying to do that, but the legs are just not there. I mean, I was watching that Chelsea-Man United first 45 minutes, and it was astonishing how good Reece James was, but he was up against no one. Rashford wasn't tracking him back. Bruno wasn't helping a hand. Matic couldn't get across and provide cover. It was incredible, the lack of desire from the Man United players just to do the very basics, which is run around and compete.
Your thoughts on what you saw tonight?
Positive. Positive.
I'm trying to be positive here. At the two ends of the Man United pitch, between Ronaldo and David De Gea, you have two players who at least you can think about building the team around in the future. I'm seeing that, knowing full well exactly how old Ronaldo is. But seeing that, outside of those two performances, and Don is right, Ronaldo doesn't have the legs that he once did. The only other highlight that didn't come from one of those two is the ball from Nemanja Matic that Craig spoke about that brought the goal. And then, so you talk about Manchester United at home and not really a lot to recall, and the stats would say as much. 6 efforts on goal. This is Old Trafford. This is the theatre of dreams. A team, and now a team in Manchester United who are second best by a long way. I think at the same time, given how poor United were, they have to be thankful that Chelsea themselves are already booking their holidays. Chelsea are going to finish third. I don't think there's any danger of that. 6 points between them and Arsenal. No other silverware to play for. Other than that, this could have been an embarrassing scoreline, just kind of given the balance of play. So it's going to take a lot. I'm with Mark. I don't see the Glazers giving up control. I don't know how things turn around for the fans in that regard. So we sit back and wait to see what's in store, because nothing is really kind of filling you with much optimism.
So, Mark,
I was going to say, two things can be possible, in my opinion. Ronaldo's not the problem.
No, you know he's not.
But Ronaldo's also not the answer. Not at 37. Let's not kid ourselves. They've got to make a fresh start. So whether it's another year for him and, you know, until you can make those signings to replace and replenish, maybe. But he's certainly not the answer long-term, of course, for Man United. Am I missing some? Is somebody going to tell me what this German coach and his coaching staff have done in the period there? Is it just me? Am I missing something? I mean, I must be. Yeah. I've seen absolutely diddly squat. Nothing. Nothing different. I've not seen a pressing game. I've not seen a passing game. I've not seen a good defensive structure. And I know a lot of it comes down to players, and I know a lot of it comes down to attitude, but I keep being told about coaching. So, yes, there are big problems, and yes, Rangnick has said this club needs open-heart surgery. What the hell has he done on the field, on the training ground? I mean, to my eyes, unless the guy's anybody else is going to come up and smack it between my eyes and tell me, I've not seen anything of note from this coaching staff in the period that they've been in this football club. Nothing. Not a thing.
And there's been a lot of talk about Rangnick's future right now. Reports linking him with the national team job at Austria. He said in the post-match today, Mark, that he will be continuing his consultancy role at Man United. Do you think that will be the case? And what do you know about these rumours?
Yeah, well, the offer of an Austrian job is there. I'm with Craig. I'm not quite sure why Austria is so keen to take Ralf Rangnick, but listen, Ralf Rangnick said tonight that he's going to stay and do his consultancy job. I think that's just a statement where he's making sure that he gets a payoff as and when, you know, this doesn't happen. Because I think that what's happened with Rangnick is he has been very good at deflecting the blame from his own deficiencies. He's been criticising the team, the players, the mentality, the recruitment of the club. He's just deflecting away from his own failings. But I think what the reality is that Rangnick has now had one win in his last 7 games. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was fired after 2 wins in his last 7 games. Rangnick's been a disaster. The players have got no respect for him. They've got no respect for his coaching staff. And I think that everybody's obviously killing time. And I think Rangnick has also upset people at the club as well with his, you know, his so-called outspokenness. But it's all right identifying problems without finding the solution. And he's been very good at that. And I think he's curried the favour of the fans as well by saying these things. The fans think he's great because he's saying things that need to be said. And he is saying things that need to be said. But he's doing it in a very clever way that means that he's not drawing attention to himself and his own shortcomings. You know, if United had got rid of Solskjaer a month earlier, which they should have done, and brought in Antonio Conte, this team would have been third or fourth now. There's no way that it would have been sixth, possibly seventh. The board, Ed Woodward at the time, have led to this situation. They appointed the wrong man to replace Solskjaer, and they're reaping the whirlwind of that now. Just more and more bad decisions all the way. And we hope United say that Erik ten Hag is a good decision, but, you know, time will tell.
Rangnick is already giving some advice forward for Erik ten Hag when talking about who should be the captain at Manchester United. He believes that the dressing room should actually decide
this.
Heard
so much noise. Well, listen. Listen, let me put it.
Let's say what he says and then you can tell us what you think about it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
All right, he says, I strongly believe...
I'm smitten when he talks.
I strongly believe the captain should be elected by the team because he's called the team manager and we always did that. We always had a board of four or five players. We call it the Spielerat, Players' Council, elected by the players. The player with the highest amount of votes was the team captain at the end. That's what I would do if I was still the manager next season, but in the end, I'm not. This is something that Erik ten Hag will have to decide. Go on then, Craig.
Has he been talking to Derek Ray or what?
Derek might correct me on my German there as well.
It's called German's always got a word for something, isn't he? A spieler or whatever. How about nonsense? Look, Erik ten Hag has to come in and show, like Sir Alex Ferguson, who we all know the history, he has to show that he can make big, hard decisions. And as Augie was saying, garnish that respect in the dressing room. You don't want to come in and say, I'm going to make big decisions, but, oh, hold on, do you guys mind having a little vote over your cup of tea and tell me who's going to be captain? He's got to come in there and make some huge decisions, in my opinion. He's got to suss out the dressing room, who's staying, who's going, who's coming in, who's a leader. I've got no interest in players picking their mates and their little cliques in the dressing room. So take your spieler out or your whatever it is and stick it where the sun doesn't shine because it needs people to come in and make big, hard decisions on players. And if other players don't like it, get them out. It's not a time to be soft-soaping these superstars.
You know, on the face of it, I don't necessarily have an issue with what Rangnick is saying here. If he were the manager next season, the issue is whoever is Ten Hag coming in or whoever it was going to be, would have to build this dressing room around how he plans to move things forward. And I find this, to Mark's point, with Rangnick saying things that appeases the fans, but nobody else, makes no sense otherwise, this is right in keeping with that. If I were the manager next season, I would do it this way. But you're not the manager next season. You've done nothing this season to suggest that the philosophy that you bring, anybody needs to take note of, Ten Hag or anybody else. So why say it? And again, it is to what Mark just alluded to. This appeases the fans. But anybody within that dressing room, anybody within the game, is just seeing straight through this.
What will Erik Ten Hag think of that then, Mario, coming from Ralf Rangnick, giving this information forward for next season?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with the guys. I think when you are a manager, one of the key things is, I think when Ten Hag comes in, it's making sure that everybody respects you. I mean, if you come in a dressing room and you have so many egos and whatever you want to call it in front of you, the moment one of the key guys in the dressing room doesn't trust you or believes in you, and you keep him in the team, you have a problem. So that is one of the key things. So that's why when Rangnick said that, I know exactly what he means, because we had some like that, but it were more like the guys who were longer at the team, so we had the more seasoned players. You know, they could maybe say something to the manager, but eventually he makes the decision, and he should make the decision. So I think when Ten Hag comes in, he's going to look at the team. He's already doing that anyway, because I'm sure he's not a guy that just turns up and just starts his homework from the moment he's there. He's saying it on TV in Holland. He says a lot like, oh, no, I'm not thinking about anything. No, he's thinking about the Man United job because it's a big job. But eventually when he comes there, he knows his decisions already. Like people in Holland are talking about if he's going to let Ronaldo, is he going to have a conversation, is he going to keep him and stuff like that. I mean, like Xhaka said, or like Greg said, he's not, the biggest problem is not him. The biggest problem is, what are you going to do in building a successful team? Because that's what people are eager to listen to and to watch. But at this moment now, having Rangnick, he is the coach now. He doesn't have to decide what the coach is going to do after. Because after that, he's not relevant anymore. We're not going to watch or listen to a person that's not in charge anymore. So they want to listen to what he's got to do now. What he's going to say, what he's going to do, how he's going to make the team play better, how he's going to put the cones in the right position. Because at the moment now, all the things that we highlighted, pressing, the fitness, the German players are always very fit. They always know how to press really well. But all those things Man United is not good at. They get overturned every single time they play a game. And that's sad to watch.
What are your thoughts on this topic, Don, about the captain's role?
I find it absolute waffle from Ralf Rangnick. I mean, that statement tells you everything you need to know about his management style. And I say that loosely because he hasn't got any style and he hasn't got any power. You know, if you can't come in, and there's a million and one things to do as a coach or a manager, but if you can't come in and you can't have the gumption to choose who your captain's going to be, and as Craig said, oh, do you mind having a little mother's meeting and a little cup of tea and choose who you want to be as captain? No, if Harry Maguire's not playing well, and he can't carry Man United because his own form's going out the window. You take the armband off him and you give it to Ronaldo, or you give it to someone that you think is captain material. Forget about being nice to people. If you can't make that decision, what chance have you got? And I don't think he's got any power. I think from day one he's come in and a lot of the people were going, well, he's had two clubs in 10 years. How's he got the profile and how's he got this job? This is one of the biggest jobs and most important jobs in world football. He's come in, he's been very average. Awful. Since day one. He come in, tried to confuse everyone, thought he was being clever, coming in and playing 4-2-2-2, and people were going to buy that. We've seen through it because it's 4-4-2. Then he goes 5 at the back and 4-3-3. He's searching for something because he doesn't know what he's doing. And that tells you everything you need to know in that statement.
This club needs many things, but it needs authority and big decision-making. And I don't know. I presume Ten Hag has got the skill set to do that. He's going to need to have the skill set to do it. If he's going to be successful, he's going to need other things to go his way as well. But he's going to have to show, because the guys all know, when you walk into a club or a new coach walks into a club or whatever it is, the players can suss out fast a weakness. And they'll play on it. And they'll use it for an excuse for their bad performances. But if a manager comes in, the training's good, he's good talking to the players, he's hard but fair, he's straight, and he makes big decisions, you might not like him and you might not agree with him, you might not even be playing, but you have to respect that's how he's going to operate. They do not need some wishy-washy person coming in and allowing the dressing room to make decisions, because when results start to go badly, if that's what happens, the press will go on him and say, well, yeah, you let the players do this and you let the players do that. You have to live and die by your decisions. The best managers have all lived and died and succeeded or failed by making hard decisions that they thought were right at the time. And that's what the incumbent manager at Manchester United needs to do, because there's too many players, in my opinion, looking from the outside at Manchester United that are looking for an excuse, that are looking for a fall guy. And they've pretty much found it in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and they've definitely found it in Ralf Rangnick.
It goes back to what you were saying, and I hear you laughing along there, Mario, about demanding that respect from the minute that you step into that dressing room.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like, look, when I came to England, you know, in the beginning, we talked before the show about Dennis Wise. Actually, my first training, I kicked like crazy because he was one of the leading guys. So he made sure that I understood, like, listen, my friend, could be really technical and coming from Holland, but this is England. Here are different issues. So he made sure I knew he was the boss. Then I go to Wigan. When I joined Wigan, I came in, the deal was already done. I just had to discuss with the coach, and then the owner walks into the club. The owner literally says in front of the coach, Mara is going to be the captain of our team. There was no discussion with the teammate. And I looked at the coach at that time when the owner said that, Dave Whelan. I looked at the coach and was like, is it really? And he said, like, yes, Mario, I agree with him. And that's how I became the captain of the team. He said, the only job you have, Mario, keep my team in the Premier League. That was my biggest thing. And I knew, like, I didn't want it to have a moment. Like, I already knew how it felt to relegate. So that was one of my dreams, that I never wanted to see that moment happen again. So now going to Rennick, that's why I cannot understand it. And when Ten Hag comes, he is very decision-making. Tactically, he's very good. Okay, technically, everybody knows how the Dutch league works. But one thing I always say to every Dutch coach that comes abroad to England, we have seen a number of them, is that they make sure they make the difference really well. Because the English league is different than the Dutch league. Character-wise, they're not the same. It's way 10 times quicker, and you will not have breaks to settle down because they pick up the pace really quickly. And sometimes we get surprised by that when we're coming from a different country.
I worked lucky enough to work under Wim Jansen at Celtic in his only season there, my first season. Going back to the Dutch point, and I'm not generalising. All right, I am. I'm not. But his way of thinking, and I don't know if it's sort of universal along with the Dutch coaches, is a very, blinkered would be the wrong way, but very focused. And he would allow people to have their say, but ultimately he would say, okay, you've had your say, but this is the way we're going to do it. And I think ultimately that's the way, because we had a slow start to the season and there was a few problems, a lot of pressure from the Celtic supporters, but he stuck by his guns. And I think that's what the new coach here has to do, is stick by his guns, and hopefully the club will stick by him, because it's going to be a long-haul job, Kay.
It really is. Mario, it's the first time we've seen you since the news of Antonio Rudiger not signing a new contract at Chelsea has come out. And we wanted to ask you how you think they're going to fare without him. He's going to be a big miss at the club, isn't he?
Oh, it's going to be a big miss. I mean, look, if you let someone go like his statue, he's very important. You know, like if you got Silva and him at the back, it brings so much calmness in the team. Okay, Azpilicueta too, and we know that he's at, there's a situation going on too. But Rudiger is kind of like the guy that after the other guys that I mentioned are leaving, he has to take charge. He's strong. He's always wants to win, because at the back you want a calm head, but also one that wants to win. And guys, be honest now. When something really has to happen in a team and a fight goes on, what kind of player do you want in your team to stand behind you? I would go for Rudiger without a heartbeat. They let go of Tomori. He went to Milan, and then Zuma went to West Ham. So in the beginning, they thought they had that all under control. And then this moment happened. We know what the reason is also, because of the situation that Chelsea went through and what all the things that's happening, who's coming in, what's going to take over. That's the thing, what Rudiger probably waited and didn't want to wait so long. We know that he asked maybe for the financial aspect that the club was maybe not agreeing with. But at the end of the day, they waited maybe a little bit too long, because now the power is not at the club anymore. The power is at the player. And if you look at football the way it's happening now, a lot of powers are going to the players now, because players are saying now they understand the game, just like clubs understand it.
A lot more talk about player power.
Mario will have to make a comeback. He's looking quite fit.
He is looking quite fit, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. The gym's open at what now? Well, the gym's open. That's my one takeaway today. The gym is reopened here.
Woo! For more talk about the gym and transfer talk and everything else you need to know from the world of football, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube page. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Chelsea will be in action against Liverpool in the FA Cup final. That coming off on Saturday, May 14th, right here on ESPN+. One thing we know when it comes to managers at Liverpool is they certainly have some stability. Jurgen Klopp has extended his contract at Liverpool until 2026. It's his third extension since arriving in 2015. It makes him Liverpool's longest serving manager since Bill Shankly. And he is also the longest serving Premier League manager currently right now since Sean Dyche left Burnley. Remember, Pep Guardiola came in the summer of 2016. As you can see, Jurgen Klopp in at 2015. Changed a lot there, didn't he?
What?
At Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp.
Oh, it's been an amazing job. Absolutely amazing. I mean, I think the fit is perfect for that city, that club, the people, his hard working, as well as all the skill set, but his grafting, enthusiasm, you know, work hard mentality, and everything else has fallen into place. I have to say, I saw this today. I was quite bored today, and so I was sat on Twitter, social media, and I saw Liverpool announce it via their official website, and so I clicked on to see what the responses were, and it's unbelievable. The first responses to an announcement from Liverpool were from Man United fans saying they're not worried about this. I mean, it's quite incredible how all these people go, oh, I'm not worried because we've got a better manager. He is, and what he's done there has been, you know, put it one way, if Guardiola hadn't been managing Man City, Liverpool would be the train to stop. It just so happens two of the best coaches on the planet and two of the, certainly one of the richest clubs, Liverpool also have a fair share of money, are in the same league at the moment because they're head and shoulders above everybody in it.
I think it speaks too, though, about identifying and kind of going back to Manchester United, identifying the right manager, who's the right fit for the club and the direction you want to take it, and then having faith and sticking by him. I can vividly remember in those early Jurgen Klopp days, the comparison about his first 40 games and Brendan Rodgers' last 40 games, and which all seemed really, especially now, really ridiculous. So just have faith and back that
manager.
Wasn't
on this show, was it?
Not on this show, on social media, which is...
I was also worried, Checker, because he was with us earlier. Were we the boring company?
It was before you.
I was before, okay.
Well, I was sat at home with my three dogs.
There you go. So that when he's with his dogs, he's on Twitter. But to that point, just stick with and trust in the manager that you hand the reins to. Too often, as soon as results don't go your way, fans and clubs want to respond by sacking the manager. But this shows how valuable it is to stick with somebody who fits.
Is this an advantage for Liverpool in the FA Cup final, Mario? The fact that they have this longest-serving manager, that they have the stability that they do in the Liverpool squad?
Oh, 100%. I mean, look, if you can calm the ship the way they are now, I mean, look, Craig said it. As a manager, he's incredible. I mean, I never made any lie about it that if I could go back in my days, if I ever wanted to play for him, oh yes. Because he's so good, the way he builds his team, and he doesn't spend that much money like all the other clubs. He's spending, but not like spending. He's really thinking it through. And he always, like, it's like a puzzle. Eh? He sees, like, okay, that doesn't fit. Then I bring in somebody else. And I think he's very good in doing that. And he does not change the way he plays. He keeps holding on to his system. So whatever comes in has to understand to play the way he wants to play. And that's why I think for Chelsea, it's always going to be a crucial thing. But they know each other. So the balance is there. Technically, they know each other really well. They know what they want to do. But the energy of Liverpool is always the catch. The energy.
I thought we'd have got Stevie out of his bed. Talk about this contract expansion.
I'll tell you what, you should have seen.
Half six.
You should have seen Stevie watching the Liverpool game. That's when you see. That's when you see the fun in him, isn't it?
I've seen it before.
Yeah, he was like that.
Shouting.
He was shouting, screaming.
Was the referee at all?
Yes, absolutely was. Listen, Don. Next up for Liverpool, it's Newcastle, and Newcastle are only behind Liverpool in 2022. For the most points picked up in the Premier League, such has been...
That's a Brendan Rodgers, Jurgen Klopp graphic.
Such has been their turn in form.
You've just belittled that.
Well, listen, we talk about the games that both Manchester City and Liverpool have ahead. This could be a tricky one, Don, for Liverpool.
It could be in terms of, I think, the kick-off time, Kay, which is 12:30 in the UK, which is very early off the back of the Villarreal game. So that might cause Liverpool a little bit of stress. But, you know, even though Newcastle are in great form, home and away, I think it's five on the spin at home, and they're absolutely flying, and they're a really good side. Liverpool are a train at the moment. You know, they've just had the momentum with Jurgen Klopp signing a new deal. I wonder if that might just spark Man City to try and Pep down. That might be on them pretty soon. But in terms of the game, the squad's too strong. You know, Mane came off the other day against Villarreal. Trent came off against Villarreal. Jota comes on. It wouldn't surprise me if you know, Matip coming for Konate, or even Van Dijk, Naby Keita might start. He might start Gomez. You know, the squad is ridiculous. So it's a test of how Liverpool get going, because them early kickoffs can be a little bit of a problem. And sometimes you need minutes to sort of run the lactic acid out of your legs. So it wouldn't stun me if the game was not going away for Liverpool, but I would say Liverpool are not going to flow early on. But I would imagine as the game goes on, they'll get into their stride and win the game.
Will Newcastle fancy their chances of taking something away from this?
Oh, Newcastle will fancy their chances, no question, given what we've seen from them this year, as the graphic rightly pointed out. But the issue is Liverpool. And Don's absolutely right. All things being even, Liverpool wins this convincingly 9 times out of 10. But given the fact that they're continuing to chase this quadruple, the fact that they continue to play in Europe, we see how the squad is rotated and what effects that has. Maybe that's a little bit of the advantage that Newcastle needs. But despite Newcastle's form, this is all about Liverpool. What version of Liverpool turns up? Because if it's 8 out of 10 Liverpool, they win it.
He doesn't like those early kickoffs, though, does he? Not after the Champions League. Somebody's getting it.
Nope.
Broad internet reporter. Somebody's getting it at the weekend. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, going back to the point about giving managers a bit of time, the knives were out for Eddie Howe early on at Newcastle. You know, what's changed? It's the same old, can't win. And, you know, he had a bit of time. Also, they had a good January transfer window. And obviously, they're picking results up for fun. I do believe there was a graphic they showed they're almost as good as Liverpool. But so it is going to be a tough game. And it is one of the games, I think, when you look at, you think, you know, City will be watching this thinking, this could be where Liverpool drops points. I don't think it will happen. But as Shaq said, if they're just a 6 out of 10 on this day at St James's Park, Newcastle can win.
Mario, obviously Man City a point ahead of Liverpool in the Premier League table. We take a look at the remaining schedules here. Who do you have winning the title?
Oh, I went for Liverpool. That was really quickly. So I cannot change that because I don't like tiptoeing different ways. But you will shut me up when I see the final stroke. But Liverpool is definitely my catch. So that's why I focus on them, the way they play, the energy. But the question that the guys just highlighted, just coming out of the Champions League, going in straight into the Premier League, that could be one of the crucial things that could happen, because then they could get a slip up. Why? Because we all know how it feels. Coming out of a big game, sometimes people don't understand. When you peak as a team, it's very hard to come back and do it again. And sometimes that could be really a downfall.
He's not only got the luxury of rotating his fullbacks if he wants, Gomez or Tsimikas, he's been rotating his centre-halves as well. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Henderson's been playing, Keita's been playing, you know, Thiago's been in good form recently. I think the one key for me who might have to play, and he might not, and I heard Stevie talking about it yesterday, was Fabinho.
Okay. I thought he's taking some heat about his Thiago comments again, who? Stevie. he's just not totally sold, is he? And Thiago's been.
Oh yeah, but I mean, I don't know if Thiago start or not. I mean, but I'm looking at somebody. I'm looking at players who you might not be able to get a rest. Is Virgil van Dijk, and it could happen. It could be Matip and Konate, and Fabinho. The way Fabinho protects and breaks up and starts attacks. Even against Villarreal, who didn't have a lot of possession, but when Liverpool gave it away, or indeed Fabinho gave it away himself, he won it back straight away. And they could operate without him in there, you know, with Thiago, Henderson, Keita, who had Curtis Jones, whoever it is. But I just feel it's such a crux part of the season, resting Van Dijk and Fabinho in particular in those positions is going to be tough. Those two might have to just roll their sleeves up and see out almost every game this season.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see, and there will always be a lot of talk about it continuing here on ESPN FC, which, as you should know, is available daily.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The first leg semis of the Europa League took place on Thursday. West Ham beaten by Eintracht Frankfurt. Eintracht Frankfurt with a very early goal once again. Knauf with that. Mikel Antonio levelled things out. And then Kamada with a rebound goal to make it 2-1. It was a good night for the German sides actually in the Europa League. But there is a second leg still to play. Don and Archie are with us.
He was doing a Stevie. He was shouting at the telly.
He was shouting at the telly.
Wasn't that bad.
I tell you what. OK, West Ham lost, Don, but it wasn't the worst performance from them, was it?
No, I thought they were emotional from the start. The atmosphere was incredible from the start. And they got emotional, lost an early goal, and they recovered quite quickly. But Eintracht were really, really good. I've seen a lot of them. They've got some outstanding players. Second half, where I thought West Ham was so much better. Kevin Trapp was pulling off saves in the second half for fun. I thought Jared Bowen's effort when he had a bicycle kick, when he wrapped the crossbar, it was one of them where you think it's not going to be their night. They were plugging away. It's wide open this tie. People are saying that it's done because West Ham have got to go to Germany in the second leg. I think it's still wide open. You see what West Ham have done against Lyon when they went away second leg and battered them. So this tie is very much wide open, but it was a brilliant game of football.
Archie there at the London Stadium once again. Eintracht Frankfurt making the headlines. Big win for them, Archie. What was it like to be there? How was the atmosphere?
I've got to be honest, Dom, the atmosphere was terrible. For a European semi-final, the West Ham fans were so flat. So flat.
Yeah, but they lost a goal inside a minute.
Yeah, and at that point, you've got to pick up your team. After what this team have done for them throughout this run, you've got to get behind them. And it was so flat for so long, even in the second half, I was stunned. I came here with really high expectations of what these fans would do tonight. And it was just not there. I think I was speaking to a couple of West Ham fans. They were saying that the atmosphere was better against Sevilla, for example. But this performance as well, it was reflected on the pitch. I thought Declan Rice was carrying them for a lot of it. Sure, they had their chances. Kevin Trapp made one or two fantastic saves. But West Ham, as the expected goals and the chances show, they had all the chances to win this game. Frankfurt took their chances, and to be honest, also could have had one or two more themselves. But was disappointed for what should be such an occasion. I think the way you can explain it is that the nerves were showing for the West Ham fans on a night like tonight. But Frankfurt, once again, like proving that they are more than the sum of their parts, an incredible performance from them. And this is despite the fact that they were missing Evan Ondicka at the back, huge player for them, Christian Jakic as well in the centre of midfield. I agree with you, Don. This tie is not done yet. And I think that there's going to be a different kind of pressure on Frankfurt next week. But I have to say, disappointed with the atmosphere here tonight.
Archie, basically, what Archie's saying is that it's the West Ham fans' fault tonight, Don, that they lost.
I want to ask Archie about a player that I've been watching for many a year, Martin Hinteregger, mm-hmm. and I cannot get a handle on him. Every time I watch him, I think he's big, he's heavy. But every time I watch him, he's in the right position. He's one of the slowest centre-backs I think I've ever seen in my life. But yet, mm-hmm. he keeps playing well all of the time.
He is positionally excellent. And you saw actually a week ago against Taiwo Awoniyi, who moved from Liverpool to Union Berlin on a permanent deal this season, been scoring goals for fun. He was left for dead, and you could see that Hinteregger was trying to have to fake a foul because Iwuni was better than him. And I thought, if West Ham had got themselves in more one-on-one duels against him, getting isolated, for example, someone like Saeed Benrahma, Jared Bowen, these dribblers, then he will struggle. But the problem was, a lot of the time, it's balls into the box. And that is meat and drink for Martin Hinteregger, who, I have to say, is such a figure for Eintracht Frankfurt. 3 years ago, European semi-final, away at Chelsea, he misses the penalty that sends them out. And there's this famous photo of him putting his head into the hands of supporters who are trying to console him. Tonight, he's the first guy into the supporters, and they're holding his head again, but this time in this act of redemption. Now, look, this tie is not done, but if it is to be done, then it is going to be down to Martin Hinteregger putting in another big display at the Waldstadion next week.
I was dying for Archie to contradict Don again and say there was a stat that showed Hinteregger was actually the fastest player in the Bundesliga. I tell you what, Don. That was a marvellous deflection from you there off the great atmosphere. Straight to Hinteregger. Not even a shame on you. Not even a Craig, no
honestly,
shame.
Honestly, Craig, you'd stand Stevie up against Martin Hinteregger and you'd go, Stevie's in better shape. I'm telling you. But
no.
The guy seems to just, like Archie said, his positional sense is incredible.
Any other players you'd like to ask about, Don, while we're at it? Or would you just send some WhatsApp to Archie instead?
No, I just had to ask, Kay, because I've been commentating on him and watching him for so many a year, and I just could never get a handle. Every time you look at him, you think, someone's going to get at him. Someone's going to take him on because he's big, he's slow, he's heavy. No one ever does.
Well, listen, get a handle on atmospheres and then take it from there. One step at a time.
One step at a time. Shaka.
Listen, if you're West Ham, you feel a little bit unlucky. You hit the woodwork three times. And in all honesty, I thought Lyon were better at the London Stadium than Eintracht Frankfurt were. And that was a draw. The challenge for West Ham in going away now to Eintracht Frankfurt is, of course, they're defending a lead. I thought Eintracht were fantastic on the counter-attack. But they don't have to take chances at all, given the fact that they have the lead at home. So I really want to see how they approach the game, how West Ham counters. Because, again, just given what happened in the quarter-final, if I'm West Ham, I'm not too despondent. I'm not too down on my chances.
I think if you go away and win 3-0 in any European competition against a decent side, then you're obviously still got a lot of confidence. The one thing I would say, it seemed to me that, yes, West Ham had the chances, but that little bit of extra quality, looking at it, came from Eintracht Frankfurt on the counter-attack. They just seemed to have a little bit extra quality in that final third. In fact, I think if they'd taken care on a couple of more occasions with that final pass, they could have been going back to Germany with a bigger lead. So I think from West Ham's point of view, it is definitely 6-2-3s in Frankfurt in a week. How much do we go after and how soon do we go after that goal, knowing how dangerous they are going the other way? I think this is still a hugely intriguing tie, I have to say. But Eintracht Frankfurt, who have already dismantled Barcelona, are certainly favourites.
The German side came out on top in the other semi-final as well. It was RB Leipzig taking on Rangers. Just the one goal in this one. And what a goal it was from Angelinho with 5 minutes left. Now the tie goes to Ibrox.
Yeah.
Will Rangers be confident of turning this around, Craig?
Well, I think they will. But so will RB Leipzig have seen this out. Look, if you've knocked out Red Star Belgrade, if you've knocked out Borussia Dortmund, as Rangers have, then you've got something. Amongst other teams that have played in the Europa League this year, like Braga and others, there have, obviously since Jesse Marsch left, RB Leipzig have been a much better side. They've just changed. The dynamic has changed there. But Rangers were in this game for a long time. It was looking like a great result at 0-0, or a very good one. It's turned into a good result. If you're only 1-0 away from home, I mean, if you go away from home, sometimes it can just completely go wrong for you. You take a battering, the tie's over. So I think a lot to play for Rangers, and with some of the results they've had this year, their fans and their manager and the players will think they're still in it. I just think, personally, RB Leipzig are going to be too organised for Rangers to get the job done. I think it could be a narrow exit for them.
Well, if you'd like to take a closer look at those German sides, then you can do so right here on ESPN Plus, because we carry the Bundesliga, and this weekend we have a whole slate of action for you. Be sure to check those teams out right here on Plus. In the Europa Conference League, this is how things are standing after the first leg of action in the semis there. Feyenoord edging Marseille. What was a thrilling game. It ended 3-2 in favour of Feyenoord. And then Leicester City managing to get one and make it a leveller against Roma, who had gone ahead through Pellegrini, but Leicester City benefiting from an own goal here. Makes things pretty interesting. And we wonder if any of these sides get into Shaka's power rankings this week.
You know, I heard the story about Leicester City, start of the season. He didn't even know what the Europa Conference was, Brendan Rodgers. He said that.
Might win it.
Shaq, go on. Oh, Eintracht Frankfurt, Shank. There's a shock.
Well, it's a European night. So the clubs that are in Europe and have fared well, and even though Rangers and Villarreal have lost, not by an awful lot, and the teams above them, Porto lost, Inter lost, they're out.
Villarreal are seventh in the Spanish league and they've just been beaten.
Yeah, but in the Champions League semi-final, they've just been beaten by the team top.
Okay. So PSG, talk to me.
Well, they won the title, so they get some love this week. Porto and Inter, Inter dominated the second after AC were up. Porto running away with in Portugal, but then they lost on the weekend as well, so they're out. But on European weeks.
What the hell's that behind you?
What?
Was that what you were doing? What the hell's that?
That's me and my tuxedo.
What the hell?
Why don't you dress was like that for us?
Was that what you were doing at your computer earlier today, those power rankings?
Put in the data here in the door.
No computer crash today.
No, not today.
Don, what do we think today of these power rankings?
I'm loving the picture of Shaq, by the way. Very handsome.
That's 2005,
there,
I think.
Very handsome, Shaq. Shaq,
well, thank you very much, Donald.
Don't act so surprised, Don.
He's actually worked well, isn't he?
Is this a European week, Shaq? These power rankings?
Yes, that's right.
But why have Inter gone then?
Because they lost. What do you mean, why have they gone?
That was in the league.
Yeah, but they've just had an absolute howler and let Milan take control of the Scudetto destiny.
Shaq is saying it's a European week. How Villarreal there?
It's
all right, Shaq.
What's he talking about in 10 Europe? What are you talking? I don't know what you're talking about.
He said it was a European week, like it was a Champions League week or a conference or a Europa League week.
He factors all different facets into this.
That's what the algorithm does.
He just puts it in, Don.
The algorithm takes everything in.
He just puts it in and there's some computer crunches the numbers for him.
And Villarreal stays at fifth.
Listen.
I don't know what.
This man has been doing this a decade plus.
Mm-hmm.
There's no stone has been left unturned in his analysis.
That's right.
I've seen it.
Look
from
at
own
the
eyes.
Face on him.
Thank you very much, Craig.
Look at the face on him.
That's true.
Hardest working man in TV.
That's also true.
Okay, these guys will be back for extra time.
Sorry, working even harder.
Yep.
That's
Mario Melchior will be with us as well, answering your questions.
Oh, God.
And hopefully they'll be understood on tonight's show, because Ian Dark did not understand one of the questions we were asking today. You can download, you can check it out on YouTube as well. Always do that. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Coming up this weekend in La Liga, these are the games we have for you. All eyes will be on Real Madrid against Espanyol at the Bernabeu because they have a chance to win the league. All they need to do is pick up a point in this game. Be sure to check them all out over on Plus. Well, that is all we've got time for.
Oh, thank God, I'm one out.
Well, sorry, you're going to have to stick around because extra time is coming up. These guys will be answering your questions. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Yeah, that was... Listen, don't watch... Oh, sorry.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time.
Got there a bit early. Don't watch today's Extra Time. Watch yesterday's.
Watch yesterday's
Stevie,
Extra Time.
Stevie, that Leeds one was brilliant. twice he went back in the dark.
Yeah. I've just realised as well that I actually don't have the questions.
Well, that's
just read it off
We're
the,
read
off
them
the screen.
Off the screen.
Read
okay?
it off the screen.
Yeah. Why? Shouldn't
Good luck with
well,
that.
We've also got Don and Mario with us.
You shouldn't have told
why don't you sprint and get them, Craig?
No. Listen,
you were just telling us that you could still play.
I saw somebody coming out of the gymnasium today outside our office, which means it's officially open.
Yes.
I'll get it. You're going to get in trouble. Right, you'll get in trouble. Give me that. No.
All right, off the screen then. In case I didn't tell you, we've all...
Hey, did you see this? You see this? You know what that is?
Stubble?
Chins. That's chins. Right? Have a look at them, because in a month or so, they'll be gone.
Because the gym's
all four,
back.
All four of them, because the gym's back. Do you know what? It'll be like, oh. Craig, where have those chins
Craig, we've got another one for you to get. It'll do you good, seeing as though you're trying to get rid of those chins.
What? He's getting his steps in, isn't he?
We don't want
his steps in.
Why do we have to go and get questions when you put them on the clip?
I know, I like seeing them closely.
There we go.
All right, Don and Mario are with us too.
Usual garbage.
Okay, you can guess what the first one is, Don. We can't have extra time without a percentage question for Don. What are the percentages for Real Madrid and Villarreal to turn it around in Spain and go through?
Well, Villarreal have got no chance. Not giving them a prayer. I'm going to say it is... 70-30 against.
70-30 against.
Against who?
Against who, though?
Spanish sides, going through.
In general.
Oh, in general.
Don hits.
Oh, for one or both?
Don hits Spain.
Both, Jack. I'm putting 70, the data in. I'm putting the data in. Right? Like you said, I'm putting it all in there. And I'm coming out with...
That's worrying.
So we're going to send
exactly.
him on an all-expert...
Whenever you put anything in there, Don, it's worrying.
Exactly. And I'm coming out with, it's a 30% chance the Spanish sides are going to go through. 30%.
They were going to send you on an all-expenses trip for a La Liga match, Don, but you've just ruined your chances now.
That's
for hating
right.
on Spanish football.
No, I don't hate Spanish football.
To be fair,
I just don't think they've got a chance.
To be fair, 30 is, I think 30 is pretty generous
to be
for
fair,
both teams.
Exactly.
Okay, your story was believable until you said it was an all-expenses trip.
Yeah, you did, exactly.
All right.
I was with you up to that point.
Oh, gosh.
Well,
right.
Real Madrid have still... That looks... That paper's a bit...
It is, and the next question's for you, obviously. Start, bench or sell, please. Kay, I hosted two Ballon d'Or ceremonies. Frank, the 1998 World Cup. Or Don, I scored a wonder goal from the halfway line.
Well, I thought it was going to be Don, I scored at Wembley.
Oh, he's got even more.
Frank, I stole a World Cup from Laurent Blanc, LeBouf.
Start, bench or sell?
Start, bench or sell?
Okay. What way around have I got to get this? Right.
Yeah, it's tough. Okay.
Right. So I'm starting Don. Right. I am benching Frank. And I'm selling you for flaffing on all show about the two Ballon d'Ors that you host. 1 hour. 1 hour of drivel. And then you threw in Ruud Gullit.
And I said, if it ain't Dutch, it ain't much, and Mario agrees with that.
You're sold. You're out.
I'm out.
You can go and host it. You can take your crumpled bit of paper. Go and host it. I bet you never had that at the Ballon d'Or, did you?
Craig found out about Ruud Gullit and me going way back, and he's not having it. All right, I've been sold down the river. All right, Craig, should Man City sell Jesus if they sign Haaland?
No. Because he's so flexible and dependable for them. And I mean, he plays, obviously, a natural striker. He's played wide, works hard. Not everybody's cup of tea, but he's actually done a great job recently. So, no.
If I was Jesus, I'd want to leave, though.
Well, he's never been a regular player, has he?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe really. He wants to be. Maybe he wants to be.
Maybe he wants to be. But he's never been a regular. Even Aguero was there, it was tough for him. But particularly in the Liverpool games and others, Guardiola found a position from on the right-hand side. And you think he did it against Madrid a couple of years ago. I don't think he'd want to sell him because he's got another player in, potentially. But as Shaq said, the guy might want to go.
What do you think, Mario?
I agree with Shaq. You know, if I'm a bench hitter and I can go to another team to play, I will always pick playing over sitting. Because sitting gets boring after, two, three games. I want to play. So then I would leave. But as a club, you know, look what happened to Chelsea. They are the perfect example. You're letting a couple of defenders go, and now you're holding on to another one. So I say, no, hold on to him. Try to keep him as sweet as you can. And if he doesn't want to do that, then get out of him, go.
That takes me back to yesterday's show again. God, I need to get out more. Right, memo to me, get a life. So I was watching the extra time, and Stevie wasn't having the Debbie Carigi.
Mm.
You've clearly not seen this. Don't worry, I'll cover for you. The world class. You're too busy doing your power rankings, weren't
you? Yes.
I told you I'd cover for you. World class. It wasn't having it, was it?
No. World class. Jürgen Klopp said it himself.
I did. I saw the graphic.
World class substitute, Stevie said.
He wasn't having it, was he?
No, he wasn't having a few things
yesterday. That's the thing. As a player, you want to play. But there's a fine balance in that between being at a great club and not being on the first 11 every weekend or every twice a week, picking up a really good wage and having some success and adulation, but it has to be tough when you know you're not putting those shin pads on to go out for the start of the game.
Greg, if you're a young man, you want to play. But if you're an older guy, then you could do that, but what you just said. Yeah, you would sit, nice club, great, everything. But when you're young, you have only one thing on your mind, right? You want to put on their boots and go and play. That's the only thing that makes you happy.
Yep, and that's why I left Chelsea in the end to go to Celtic, because the aforementioned Ruud Gullit.
My good friend Ruud Gullit.
Couldn't take him dropping me for that FA Cup final anymore. A hot foot. I could have taken the money. Millions it was.
Yeah.
As we know, back in the day. Couldn't buy a car with it.
Oh, good. Okay.
But I'm out there, I wanted to play. No, yeah, I wanted to play.
Yeah, so you understand what he's saying?
Yes, very much so.
Would Shaka please do a power rankings on the Ballon d'Or host from the past?
What year was it?
You started this.
What year was it? What 2 years was it?
The 2 years that I did it, 11 and 12.
What happened in 13? Was it a phone call? Ah, last year wasn't last year wasn't the best. What happened? Did you just or did you get blank? Was it...
No, I got told we need a Portuguese speaker this year.
And you can speak Portuguese?
No.
Well, make it up.
So why did you need a Portuguese speaker?
I think that was their polite way of saying you're not getting used again this year. Yeah.
Really?
Two back-to-back, two wasn't bad. I'll take it. Two out of three ain't bad.
Well, there's been more than three.
Yeah. In the three that you just mentioned.
Over the 3 years? Over the 3 years? Yeah, 2 years out of 3 years is not bad.
Jealousy is an amazing thing.
Is that right, Craig?
Yes.
Anyway, Ronaldo will be happy. He won it when I wasn't there.
Yeah. So you're the jinx.
That was the jinx. Good
luck. So that's why they wanted a Portuguese-speaking person. So they already know. Are you saying it's rigged?
Ronaldo can speak English and Spanish.
I'm looking forward to the Ballon d'Or this year. When is it? October, November? World Cup's on. Might have to.
But don't worry, it's going to go by the season. And they've just announced, which we'll be talking about on tomorrow's show, that it's not going to be down to trophies, it is going to be down to individual performances too.
Hey! That's how it should all have been, no?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Who's voting?
Oh, don't get me started. I don't need to know all these things anymore, Craig.
No, you're bent.
Anyway, we're moving on to the next. Chuck has done enough power rankings. We'll give him some time off. We know that obviously I was his favourite. All right, Mario, who's been your favourite Chelsea player to watch, either before you played, while you played, or after you played?
For me, my favourite one was Gianfranco Zola. It was just because, you know, like. We all know, you know, when you come into a team and you have one star player, normally you get pushed to a side, but he allowed me to come in and I was bad at free kicks. I had a dream. I never succeeded a dream, but I was allowed to kick free kicks with him and he was a star player. The things he did on the field, I mean, like, he could really, really make defenders feel terrible about themselves. And that's what Gianfranco did. So that's why I will always pick him.
Craig?
You should have seen him on the training ground. Oh my God. And you know what else as well, which makes it even better? He is such a lovely man.
Who does more, Zola or
Mario?
Oh, Mario.
Yeah! We'll change that, don't worry. We'll change that.
Come on, Gianfranco's... Greg, hey. Come on, Craig, I got your back, no. You know that. Come on.
I've played with too many Dutch in my career. He is an amazing technician. Do you know what? People forget. Maybe they don't. At one point, why do you keep laughing?
I'm amazed how you argue both sides of the same argument. People forget all the time, and sometimes they don't.
When he was a younger player, he was the heir apparent. I'm trying to be serious here. He was the heir apparent to Diego Maradona.
Yep.
At Napoli.
Yes.
You should know this. I don't know why I said that. Well, because your husband, he's Italian, he follows Italian football, so you should know.
Yeah, I knew all those years ago I was going to marry him.
So when we were signing him, oh my God, you think about this. I remember we were in the dressing room and we're signing Gianfranco Zola, 5.5 million, I believe. You wouldn't get an ankle for that with some of these players now. I mean, it's just incredible. And the dressing room just sat back. Seriously, I mean, there was a lot of good players in the dressing room at the time, big players. And even they were going, wow. You know, I'm not even going to say Frank Leboeuf because his head will get even bigger. You know, Mark Hughes of this world and all these guys that have been around for a long time just went, what a signing this is going to be. Amazing player. And a really nice guy as well.
So, Gianfranco Zola.
Oh no, I just thought I was telling a story there.
Yeah, fair enough. This is the last question. Don, is West Ham unnecessarily taking a risky gamble with their league position and form by putting all their eggs in the Europa League basket? If they don't win it and end up finishing below eighth, wouldn't that have undone a great season and lower their ambitions for next season as well?
Yeah, no, I don't think they're putting all their eggs into it, but I understand why. I think the small squad that David Moyes has got, I don't think they're going to get top four. So their best chance of getting Champions League football is winning this competition. I think they can. I think it's been a brilliant season still. I understand the end of that question there. If they had a disaster and got knocked out in the semis and had a bad run of form and they finished eighth, you think, oh, what a shocker of a season that was. But I know plenty of West Ham fans in the area that I live in, and they are loving life this season, they've had this season. European journeys, beating teams in the Premier League, some big sides, there's a threat all of a sudden. And there's genuine, I think, momentum where West Ham are going, Kay. They're not a soft touch anymore. They're a hard team to play against.
They were just running out of steam a little bit, as we said. Don, where did you get that Lothar Matthäus jersey over your lip? Where did you get that? How did you get that?
But, did you not play in the game? No, you not play in the game?
I scored
the winner in Bremen. We beat them 1-0 for Scotland.
I don't want to know if you scored the winner or not.
I wish he'd mentioned Brent. That before.
Well, I'll just run you through. I'll just run you through some shirts there. Alan Shearer. Alan Shearer.
Oh.
And did you chase my Lothar down the tunnel? Did you chase Lothar down the tunnel in Bremen? Lothar.
No, actually. Give me. Actually, I went to him on
Mario
the final
shirt?
Whistle.
Mario, you're going to have to up your game here. You got nothing behind you.
I've got the great man over there, Maradona.
I'm okay. I got one. You see, he's got that picture of Maradona. The only thing I got, compared to the wall that I saw there, I got a signed jersey of Diego Maradona. So I'm good with that.
Oh, nice.
I'm good with that.
It needs to be in the shot, though. You can't just say that and not produce it.
Exactly.
You have to produce the show.
Because you say that, I bring it to the shot. The next time I'm in, I'm highlighting that for you. Only for you are doing that.
Yeah,
the rest of the jerseys, let me...
And then Donald will have to take all his shirts down.
What do you say?
I mean, if you can see through the glass by the bike, there's a couple of David Beckham shirts through there, signed.
Yeah, you're really... I'm a bit concerned how
we
you're...
We just waited to see Mario's shirt now.
I'm a little concerned
how you're... Yeah, but Mario's going on eBay. Mario's going on eBay.
I'm a little concerned how you acquire these shirts.
He's going to buy a shirt. And then he's just going to put Maradona.
No, I was Mario pointing Kemper at that. I didn't have to do that. I'm sorry, Dan. I didn't have to do that.
We're out of time. We've got to go because sometimes really people forget and sometimes they don't forget.
They don't forget.
That we are on 7 days a week here on ESPN FC.
Do you know something?
We'll be back tomorrow.
I don't think you've mentioned that enough today.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.